Today we begin our service with our Noisy Collection and continue to support our young members going to Camp Luther, and so that will occur during the first and opening hymn. And I know that the children who have gone certainly do appreciate it and look forward to their time at camp to grow in their faith. This morning, we are following Divine Service, Setting 3, found on page 184 in our Lutheran Service Book, and our first hymn is numbered 812. I invite you to join me as we sing. Confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of an boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please join me in responsively speaking our introit. Clap your hands, all peoples.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared.
A great King over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us.
And nations under our feet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises.
sing praises to our kings, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth.
Sing praises with a song.
God reigns over the nations.
God sits on his holy throne.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Clap your hands, all peoples.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared.
The great King over all the earth.
Whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and earth. We humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and give us those things that are profitable for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 17. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please join me in reading the gradual? Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the congregation, please stand as you're able, as we continue with the Alleluia.
Alleluia.
According to St. Mark, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In those days, again, when a crowd had gathered, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on this crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples and set them before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And then had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said to these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite you to speak with me the Nicene Creed as we confess our shared Christian faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the 3rd day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present, I invite you forward for children's message at this time. Good morning. You can come and sit by me. That's okay. How are things today for the three of you? Good. I'm glad that you're here. We gather together and we worship with one another, right? And you have come, I believe, with Mom and Dad and Grandma, right? Yeah. And you're here because it's good for you to be here, isn't it? It is good. Just like it's good for everybody else that's sitting in our congregation and even for me to be here. Because this is where we hear about how much God loves us, right? And we also hear, unfortunately, the reality that are you and I always good like we should be? Are you always good? No, neither am I. Is there anybody that's here that's always good and always does the right thing? No. And we heard about it, how we sin. And our lesson in Romans talks about this verse that I think is very familiar for a lot of people. It says, the wages of sin, and that's when we do the wrong things, right? Because we sin, we deserve death. That's not a good message, is it? But is that the only message that we hear here in church? No. We hear that's what we deserve because of our actions and our thoughts and our deeds, but we also hear what God has done. We have a gift from God through our Savior Jesus Christ, and that gift is eternal life. Is that something to talk about? Yeah, that's something that we want to share with other people, right? That we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so that's why we gather together as the church, because we hear the truth, not only that we're sinners, but also that God loves us, and that through Jesus, He desires that you and I and all His people would have eternal life. And so we want to spread and continue to give people that hope, because hearing about bad things isn't always good, is it? It's not so fun when we always hear bad things. We also like to hear about the good things, and we like to be filled with joy, especially and hope, knowing that God loves us and we have life because of Jesus. So could you fold your hands and say an echo prayer with me, and should we invite our friends to pray with us this morning? Yeah, let's have them pray with us. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that life is not always good. We know that life is not always good. That we sin and others sin around us.
That we sin and others sin around us.
And yet you give to us.
And yet you give to us.
Good news.
Good news.
That your Son, Jesus Christ,
that your Son, Jesus Christ,
has died and saved us from our sins.
Has died and saved us from our sins.
Giving us life eternal.
Giving us life eternal.
Please help me always trust my Savior.
Please help me always trust my Savior.
and follow where he leads.
And follow where he leads.
We pray in Jesus' name.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning, boys and girls, and I am very happy that you're here with us. And our congregation at this time has the opportunity to sing another hymn. It's numbered 548. And if you would like, you guys can take one of these on your way back to sitting with your family. Okay. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based upon our text from Mark chapter 8. So just to see if any of you maybe shared some history with me, how many of you have ever gone to camp in the summer? Anybody? Oh, I see some veteran campers, yes. Camp is wonderful, and each camp is a little different. I've been to some 4-H camps and some Bible camps, you would say, and, you know, they each have their own things that they're doing and sometimes their own manner of doing it. Now, how many of you kind of remember how you got lunch at school? You know, there's a, how, and how is it, and, you know, how do they get you all the meals? What do? They put you in a big line. And if you're like I was in my school, you didn't want your teacher to let you out for lunch too late. Because in my school, there was like 6th grade level classrooms, and we all ate at the same time. And you didn't want to be class number six getting in line, did you? No, why? Because then you got to wait for your food. And some camps, they serve their meals like school, right? And when you got hundreds of kids and they're all going through the one line, it's not exactly the most enjoyable part of camp. I do appreciate what Camp Luther does here in that they gather the kids, they have them all sit at the tables, and rather than releasing them by table to go through the line, they serve family style. So the kitchen already knows how many tables are out there, how many of campers are essentially at the table, and they've already got those family serving bowls of the you know, whatever the meal is going to be, like the burgers that they have and French fries. And then what happens is each table dismisses one child to go on up to the kitchen. They all grab it, and then they all head back to the table, and you get your food. And it's pretty quick, right? It's a better way, I would say, than waiting in line and waiting. But beyond that, there is another advantage to serving family style. Do any of you recall or have had children with a hollow leg? You know what I'm talking about? They seem to always be hungry. And when you went through the line and you went through and you had to wait to the line, generally there was nothing left at the end of the line. But when you served family style, there's plenty on the table that if the bowl on your table is empty, well, you know what you can do? You can go and look at the next table. Do they have any fries still left? Do they have any of the stuff I'm looking for? And sometimes they do. Sometimes maybe they don't. When you know that the boys from the recreation center, they're all at one table, you don't generally look at the boys' table. But if it's a girls' table, maybe they still got some left because they don't seem to eat quite as much. And then, so the kids, they eat and they're filled to the full, which is a good thing because how many of you parents or how many of you have been camp counselors and dreaded to hear 30 minutes after the mealtime, "I'm hungry"? That's not what you want to hear, especially if 30 minutes later you're in the middle of devotion time, because where is that child's mind going to be? Well, I wonder how soon is a canteen. Not only do they say, "I'm hungry," but when can I get a snack? When's the canteen going to open? And then they're not there mentally. So it's good when you can fill them up with the food that they need and that they're able to be in those devotions, in that Bible study time, in God's Word, and active in those things. Jesus, you might say that he doesn't exactly have the same problem that I allude to because of short attention spans, because of hunger. We have heard in today's gospel that Jesus has a crowd and they've already been with him for 3 days. They don't have the short attention span that our studies say that we have nowadays. It's gotten shorter over the years. These people, they've been with him for 3 days. And yet, for some of them, 3 days is probably longer than they anticipated. How many of you have gone to a party or a reunion and you kind of had a time frame in your mind like, okay, we're going to go there and we'll see the people and then, you know, by 3 or 4 o'clock, we're probably going to head home. And what happens? 3 or 4 o'clock comes and you're still there. And it gets to be maybe 6 or 7 o'clock and finally you decide to wrap up just because it's been so good to get together and be with these people. You can imagine how people came to hear Jesus to preach and proclaim the good news of God's love, of God's plan for salvation, that God was in their midst, working to bring to them what they needed. And they're there and they hear Jesus and his preaching, and all of a sudden, well, the provisions that they packed, well, they thought maybe they're going to be there one day or maybe 2 days, but now it's day three. And Jesus tells his disciples these words, "I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat." And nothing to eat, well, that does bring a problem. Not because they aren't paying attention, but rather because if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. They're looking to get home, I want them to get their home safely, but if I send them in this condition, they're not going to make it. It's not going to turn out good. They will faint along the way. And that certainly is not what Jesus desires. And so he comes and asks his disciples about what they would be able to do. The disciples, they look at those gathered. They see to the close to 4,000 people and say, well, how can someone feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? There's just too many. How many loaves do you have? Well, we've got 7. 4,000-ish people and 7 loaves of bread. It's not good math if you're really hungry, is it? At least not in my house. 7 loaves of bread, 4,000 people, and what Jesus does is what only he can do. He directs the people to sit down, kind of in, hey, sit down in some groups. We hear in other gospels, he tells them, sit down in groups of, 7 or 8, kind of like that family style sitting where you gather together, you sit down. And then he takes the bread, he blesses it, he gave thanks. He breaks it and then starts to have the disciples give it out. Sending it out from the kitchen. Here it comes, out to you guys. Not a big line heading over to Jesus, but the food is going out to those in need. Not only bread, but it also says fish. And they bring it out to the people, and the people receive it. And they eat until they were satisfied. Not only are they satisfied, but then leftovers. Anybody bring a doggy bag? We have 7 baskets full of leftovers. What wonderful compassion this is that Jesus has. And then he sends them on their way once their needs have been met. They can go home. They can spread the words that he has been preaching and teaching. They can share with others that did not have the opportunity to come and hear Jesus. Hey, you have to hear about what this Jesus of Nazareth said. Jesus doesn't only have compassion for those that were there gathered at his feet. Jesus' compassion extends to you and to me. He sees you and me, and yes, he sees that we are in need. We desire to go to our home, our eternal home, with our Heavenly Father who has created us, who had a good creation, as we heard in the gospel message, who provided for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden as they were able to be with him. And that is what we desire, to return to our Maker, to be with him. And yet, we face many of the dangers that you could say the people were facing that day going to their earthly home. We don't have the right food that will help sustain us. And we would faint on the way if it were left to ourselves and our own methods. We can't earn our way to heaven, for yes, we are sinners. Tainted with sin, cast out from God's perfect garden, just like our forefathers. We need Jesus to help make the way to our eternal home, and he has. He's had compassion on his people, and he seeks to feed you with what is needed to overcome your deficit in this life, your inability to make it home. He has done for you what you could not. He has paid for all of your sins. What we have done that is wrong in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. As we have sinned against God and as we have sinned against our neighbors. Jesus took those sins as his own. He paid for them as he suffered and died upon the cross. He shed his blood so that you and I might not die eternally. And instead of our death, as his body died upon the cross, his body now he uses to feed us in the Holy Supper. And in and through his body and blood, you and I receive life everlasting. He strengthens us so that we would be able to live in this world tainted by sin and yet get to our heavenly home, the home with our Maker and our Redeemer, the home with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are sustained through his body and blood that we receive in the sacrament. Yes, Jesus does provide. It was more than just providing for the needs of body, but yes, he does that still, even today, putting you and me in situations where we have food from the ground, plenty to eat, water to drink, safety and shelter. And yet, more importantly than what we need for our physical bodies, he provides the sustenance that you and I need for life eternal. The good news proclaimed, his very body and blood strengthening you in this life. And after we have received this very body and blood, we are strengthened in love towards God, but also in love towards our neighbor, so that we, like those that gathered and listened to Jesus, go from this place eager and excited to share this good news. Jesus has died and paid for all the sins of the world. In him, all people are saved. And God desires you to live with him for all of eternity. This is the message you and I are able to share today and tomorrow and forever. Because just as Jesus had provided and satisfied all the people, you and I, we get to be satisfied, but so much so that, yes, we have those baskets of joy brimming in and through us that we tell others the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no other name in which you and I are to be saved. It is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he provides for you. And he provides richly, not just for you, but for all men, women, and children, so that all will call upon his name and be saved. Go forward today, firmly believing and looking for the provisions that Jesus gives. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I invite you to stand as we continue and sing together the offertory.
Away from thy presence, empty.
be seated as our ushers come forward to gather our tithes and offerings. As you are able, I invite you to stand as we continue with the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty Father in heaven, maker and provider of all things, give us hearts to receive your gifts with thanksgiving. Free us from the cares of this world and fix our eyes on the saving work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Root us deeply in your word, that we would look to you for all our needs of body and soul and remain faithful until death. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the earth, our Savior multiplied bread and fish and fed over 4,000 people in Gentile territory, thereby showing that your kingdom is open to all nations. Bless and protect the work of our missionaries in this country and around the world, that all people would receive the bread of everlasting life given in the word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and giver of life, you formed us from the dust of the earth and breathed into us your own breath of life. All people are made in your image and have dignity and worth in your sight. Defend your gift of earthly life at all ages, from natural conception to natural death. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Creator and preserver of all things, you govern and sustain the earth for our good and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Bless the labor of those who produce food and shelter, safety and peace. Lead us to recognize your gracious hand in all things and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Father, your heavenly care extends to all your children, especially those in the depths of need. Look in kindness upon Consuela, Tracy, Pastor and Mrs. Stanley Bond. Let them find sustaining food for body and soul and such healing as your gracious will provides. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, as your Son miraculously fed thousands in the wilderness, feed your people gathered here today with the true bread from heaven, the body and blood of Christ our Savior, that even in the wilderness of this world, we may share in the eternal life of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
One more tone. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of his love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient until death, even death upon a cross. Raised from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
invite you to please stand. The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.